As I said, every Easter, Christmas, preachers are always looking for something to preach. But on special occasions, sometimes those subjects can groove and become the same. So this morning I'd like to try to give a little different emphasis on Easter. We've shown you how those men died who knew that Jesus Christ was raised. They died miserable deaths. That's demonstrable proof that they knew He had been raised. But also in the resurrection, there is a great story. It's a story of God's great love, God's great forgiveness and restoration at Easter. A story of God's love, forgiveness and restoration that one person especially received through the incident that happened from Good Friday to when Jesus was resurrected. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to be flipping through your Bibles. Matthew chapter 10 says this: "Everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess them before my Father who is in heaven." But Jesus issues a warning. Everybody likes the first part of that verse. Jesus issued another warning. Everybody likes, "For by grace are you saved." But then the same person that said that said, "Walk worthy." Jesus then immediately said in verse 33 of chapter 10, "But whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven." I used to know old preachers got to a restaurant as a little kid, and they'd make sure when we bowed our head for prayer that the whole restaurant heard the gospel. And I'd slink down into my seat. And as I became older, I realized that this is the most startling warning given to followers of Jesus. "Whoever confesses me before men, I'll say that I own you before the Father. Whoever denies me before men, I will say, depart from me. I never knew you." What would you rather be guilty of this morning? Murder? Adultery? Robbing a bank? Or denying Jesus before men? I'll tell you, I'll take robbing a bank and the others any day before the stiffest warning in the New Testament. Jesus said, "If you confess me before men, I'll tell the Father you're mine. You deny me before men, and I'll tell the Father I never knew him." Because Jesus says that in other parts of Matthew. The gravest sin that can be committed by someone who professes to know Jesus is public denial of the Savior. It's worse than any other sin. Turn in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 16. Jesus asks His disciples in 13 through 28 of Matthew 16, "Who do people say that I am?" And there's this one disciple that goes, oh, I have students like that. I know the answer. "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Who was that? Peter. And the Lord said to Peter, "Simon, you've answered well. But man didn't reveal that to you. God's Spirit revealed that to you. Then Peter does something that I find very interesting. He's a fundamentalist. There you go again, Pastor Dave, always hitting the fundamentalist. Judgment begins where? House of God. Jesus tells them that he's going to have to go to the cross and die. And guess what Peter does? No, Lord, I rebuke you. Only one that had the guts to rebuke Jesus was Peter. The only one that had guts to rebuke people that shouldn't be rebuked are fundamentalists. They're always trying to rebuke instead of encourage and love. Rebuking is a last resort, not a first. You know what Jesus said to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Here is where Peter at one time is used by the Lord through the Holy Spirit to say, you're the Messiah. And then turn around and Satan gets into Peter and he tries to weaken Jesus from the cross. Let that be a spiritual lesson to you. Believer, God can use you to say things that are good, and then Satan can use you to say things to weaken, just like Peter. Wasn't Peter used by the Lord to encourage Jesus? You're the Messiah. And what happened just a few minutes after that? Satan used Peter to discourage Jesus. Careful what you do. That just shows you that Satan can use Christians to do damage. Peter is a fundamentalist. I'm going to rebuke you, Lord. Peter, go rebuke yourself. Then we go on. The bravado. That's why I like Peter. It reminds me of me. The bravado. Turn to Matthew 26. Verse 26 through 35. The bravado of Peter. That's why I have great admiration for all the precious guys that go into the military. They canceled the draft when they saw me coming. They knew they would never win a war if I was on the team. On Thursday evening at the Last Supper, verse 26, Jesus takes the bread, starts to inaugurate the Lord's Supper, the new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of sin in verse 28. But I want to warn you, Jesus said. I want to warn you. You will all fall away because of me. That shocked the disciples, stunned them. Now listen, why would that stun them? Because we're having to skip a lot, but they just rode into Jerusalem with Jesus on the donkey, and they just saw all the people yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, make him king! Well, what do you mean, Lord? Why would we? Hey man, we're going to be vice president, secretary of state, we're going to be in your cabinet, the kingdom is coming. You heard him shouting, Lord! Jesus gives them something that really hits them and hits them hard. Verse 31, all of you will fall away. There won't be an exception. The shepherd will be struck down. The sheep will be scattered. By the way, it's the principle, strike the leader of a movement and the movement will fail. The Romans knew how to do this. The leaders in Jerusalem knew how to do this. But you know, Jesus said, I will be raised and I will go ahead of you of Galilee. Well, they don't hear that. That's why there's hope for me. The disciples were about as dense as you could get. I will be raised and I will go before you to Galilee. They didn't hear that. But guess who's got to open his mouth? Peter. Just like a typical fundamentalist who is only aware of others and completely not able to examine his own self. Peter says this. But Peter said to him, Lord, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away from you or betray you. I'm with you to the end, Lord. You know what that shows you? This man was completely blind to his own weakness. He could rebuke Jesus. Now, this is twice. It takes a lot of guts to rebuke Jesus, doesn't it? Oh, I've seen guts, believe me, as a preacher. I will never fall away because of you, Lord. I'll be with you to the end. You don't have to worry. I'm right by your side. I'm your wingman. Jesus said to him, Peter, I say to you this very night, before the rooster crows once, you will have denied me three times. Peter said to him in verse 35, even if I have to die with you, I would never deny you. Lord, you don't understand. I need to rebuke you for saying that. That's why I like Peter. Peter proves a lot of my points. What did Jesus say? If you deny me before men, what would happen? This is the most serious sin that a professing Christian can ever, ever, ever contemplate doing, is denial of Jesus. And I'm telling you, the way things are going in our country, I want every Christian to listen up. It may come to the fact that we will be under pressure for our faith. They're already attacking. Ben Carson, the great physician, made his stand, and boy, are they going at him. Now go to Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Jesus is arrested. Guess what happened to the disciples? They're gone. Jesus looked. They put the things on. Jesus looks around and back. Everybody's gone. Boys, where'd you go? Boys? And they lead him off. But there's two guys, John and Peter. John was braver than Peter. Peter didn't know his own weaknesses. That's what made him a good fundamentalist. Remember what we talked about, psychopathy? A lot of fundamentalists are psychopathic. They cannot empathize and sympathize with other people. That's why when you see a sinner, what you should have is empathy and sympathy. Why? Because you too are a sinner. You ain't no different than they are. Except you're saved by grace. That's it. Peter's warming himself by the fire. Now what you have to understand is Peter was from Galilee. And he had a southern accent. You know, if anybody comes in here, although Jim, you've lost a lot of yours, you've become more of a Yankee. But when I was in Alabama, you knew a foreigner because they didn't speak normal. A lot of Yankees. This one woman looks intently at Peter. He's kind of hiding. And she says, you're one of his disciples. And he says, now y'all, I am not. Now stop that right now. It says in Mark, which really Mark took Peter's preaching. It says, as they began to question Peter, he began to curse and swear. I'll tell you something. You know why he cursed and swore? Don't sit there and say, oh, that's terrible. How why he did it. Listen to me. It's because he had anxiety. Let's sympathize with people. His life was on the line. He's seen Jesus brutalized. so that they can't hardly recognize him. Jesus is distended and swollen. Blood is everywhere. And they're going, now you are his disciple. And he began to go, hell no, I'm not. And by the way, if you're visiting, yes, the preacher swears. It's a good theological term. And he knows that he's in trouble. And look what he says. Certainly, you're the man, verse 59 of Luke 22. You're a Galilean. You have to be his follower. You speak with an accent. But Peter publicly said in verse 60, man, I never saw this guy. I don't know what you were talking about. And some other expletives. The last time we heard expletives like that was during Watergate. Did you ever get the Watergate transcripts? Expletive deleted? That's the first time I learned what an expletive was. I looked that up as a kid. What does the word expletive delete? It's a useless word. And it's not just it or there. It's curse words. Politicians have foul mouths. Or they wouldn't be politicians. Okay. What did Peter the fundamentalist tell Jesus? Lord, though all deny you, boy, I'm going to be with you, man. And at first, Peter even grabbed a sword. Remember that? Jesus said, stop that. But Peter weakened and he weakened and he weakened and he weakened until finally he just screams out, I never knew him. And then look, would you want this look? Listen to me. Would you want this look in Luke 22? Immediately, Peter heard after the third denial. Fundamentalist Peter that had no idea of his own weakness, but he sure could point out everybody else. And I've said that for years, so I'm not picking on anyone because you've heard Pastor Dave say this. If you've been in this church as long as I've been in this church, you've heard this over and over until you don't even pay attention to me. This is what I don't like about fundamentalism. They know everybody else's weaknesses but their own. There's no sympathy and there's no empathy. We're not going to be like that this way. And if you're a fundamentalist that cannot empathize and sympathize with people, this really isn't the church for you. Jesus calls broken and bruised people to himself. But this is what kills me. I really do like Peter. John's my favorite, if I can have a favorite. But I like Peter because look what it says in verse 61. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. I want you to sit there and you pretend that you're Peter. Jesus is way up there in front of Roman soldiers. They're bruising and they're battering him. He's probably hiding over in the corner in this huge area of this Roman fort. And as soon as Peter does this, the Savior turns around. He didn't have to hear it. He's God. And he looks at Peter. Would you want Jesus to look at you? What was that look like on the face of Jesus? Jesus turned and he looked at Peter. Whatever that look was, what was that look of Jesus? And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him that he would deny him. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Now, it doesn't say how Jesus looked at Peter. I don't think Jesus looked at Peter and said, you idiot! You ever have your mom or dad look at you and you know you've done wrong? My mom used to love to brag that she would have to give me the strap once a year or wash out my mouth with soap. I'm in trouble when I go home today. Yes, I do have a smart mouth. It's probably why the Lord called me to preach. You know what I think the look was? And I have no basis for this. But you know what I think it was? I told you, Peter. You've got to remember your weaknesses. I don't think it was a look of anger. I think it was the look, Peter, you're too confident. You're too confident in yourself, Peter. Apart from God's strength, this is what's going to happen. And I just think it was a look in those eyes of Peter and Jesus just right on each other. And how terrible Peter felt. Because he remembered Jesus' words, "If you deny me, I'll deny you. You are not worthy of me as a disciple if you deny me," Jesus said. And he went. And he wept. And I know what was on Peter's mind. How do you know what's on somebody's mind, Pastor Dave? Well, you can kind of guess this one. I'll never be forgiven. I've done the worst thing I can do. What's your sin this morning? The worst sin you ever can do is to deny Jesus Christ. And he did it in the most public, obnoxious way. And God was using this to teach Peter a lesson in compassion, a lesson in knowing your weaknesses and to sympathize. Because I want to show you in the book of John something that's wonderful. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. I'm going to have to summarize some of this, but here's the story. Jesus has resurrected. He says, "Go before me, I'll see you in Galilee." But you know what Peter says? Simon Peter says in verse 3 of John 21, "I'm going fishing." Now listen to me. Too bad you lose stuff in English. Because that doesn't mean like they go crappie fishing down in Alabama. "I'm going to go for a day of crappie fishing." No. The Greek means, "I'm going back to my old profession." The way he has constructed this, it means, "I so failed the Lord Jesus that I'm going back to fishing. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy." I don't want to get complicated. I teach language at the seminary. If you'll just trust me, that in the Greek, that's what it's saying. "I'm going back to my old profession. I'm the biggest scuzz bucket there is. I really blew it. I committed the worst sin there is. Would you rather be convicted of stealing or whatever? This is the worst sin, to deny the Savior. So whatever sin you've done, it ain't nothing compared to what Peter did. I'm going back to fishing. Forget it." That's what he means. And all of a sudden, this man shows up on the shore in verse 5, it was Jesus, but they didn't know it. He hid himself. I don't know, somehow he could do something that they wouldn't recognize him. And Jesus says to these guys going back to fishing, "Do you have any fish? Have you caught any?" And they say, "No, there's no fish in this lake." Boy, if God doesn't want you to do something, he closed the door, they couldn't catch one fish. How do you go back to fishing if you can't catch one fish? You are unemployed. And that was the Lord's trying to teach him something here. And he says this, verse 6, "Take that net, put it on the right side, cast it in." You know why Jesus did that? Because in Luke chapter 5, that's when Peter and John first met Jesus. They were casting their nets. He told them where to find fish. And Peter fell down before the Lord in Luke chapter 5 and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, I'm a sinner." First time that fundamentalist got something right. Verse 7. When Simon Peter, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, and that's John. John, the disciple that Jesus loved. And by the way, that doesn't mean he was bragging. That means that the Lord can love me. He can love you. That's what John meant by that. He was the son of thunder. He wanted to call fire down from heaven on the Samaritans. He was a good Jew. Let's nuke them all, Lord! Jesus had a better plan. It's the Lord! So Simon Peter heard it, put on his outer garment, threw himself into the sea. And they caught so much fish, John even remembers. I think it's 153 fish. Doesn't it say there? Yes, it does in verse 11. That's why you have an eyewitness account. John even remembers the amount of fish they caught. So he has breakfast waiting for them. The 11 guys that denied him. Would you cook breakfast for people that shafted you? Huh? Well, maybe you'd put something in the breakfast. Maybe you'd spit in what they're drinking. Maybe you'd put the X-Lax in the chocolate bar that you're serving. You ever wanted to get even? This is what I love. When they finished breakfast, Jesus went to Simon Peter. Simon, do you love me more than these? And what he means by that is these things you're doing right now. And you know what Peter says to him? Lord, I love you. But Jesus uses a word. There are two different words for love. Let me tell you what this is about. This has been misabused and abused. But this is what, Simon, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you, Lord, but not the kind of love that I should have. Implying, Lord, I denied you. My love is not good. You know what Jesus says to him? Feed my sheep. You know what the fundamentalists would do with a guy like this to deny Jesus? They would have church disciplined, tossed him out the ear, and never spoken with him again. Aren't you glad Jesus isn't a fundamentalist? I'm talking about the culture. The horrible, harsh culture. Peter, feed my sheep. I'm going to use you. Lord, I love you, but not like I should. You can't use me, Lord. I denied you. I need church discipline. Jesus says to him the second time, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter says, Lord, come on now. I love you, but I denied you, Lord. I failed you in the worst way that I could ever have failed you. I can't do that. I need church discipline. Jesus said, Peter, feed my Jesus says a third time, Peter, so you love me. And he uses that word that's a lesser form, if I remember correctly. I don't have my Greek New Testament. I'm doing this by memory, which is dangerous, but it's accurate nonetheless. So you only love me a little bit, huh? And Peter is grieved because he knows he does. But to be honest with you, Lord, I failed you. I must not love you like I should. I do love you, but I failed you. There is no forgiveness for this. I need to go back to fishing. I'm not worthy. You know what Jesus said to him the third time? When you want to get somebody's attention, you keep doing it. That's why I keep repeating things. If you would go to the school with me, if I said to the whole chapel of 400 and some guys, repetition is what? They'd say the key to learning. And I'd say the key to learning is what? And they'd say repetition because they hear me say that over and over and over again. You know what Jesus says to Peter? Feed my sheep. Do you realize that story of forgiveness? You ain't done nothing like Peter has done. If God can forgive and restore Peter, there is no sin that can block you from feeding His sheep. I'll tell you how good it got with Peter, because he knew Jesus' forgiveness. In Acts chapter 4, Peter will walk up to the same people that crucified Jesus, and you know what he will tell them? The same high priest, the same gang that crucified Him. You crucified Him! He is raised! And there's no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved but the name of Jesus. See, when you know Jesus' forgiveness, and you know the greatest sin is covered by the blood, that gives you a fierce boldness through the power of God's Spirit that is absolutely amazing. The greatest sin that can ever be done is deny the Lord. You know what Jesus did? Jesus was not a good fundamentalist. They would have had Him before the elders. Jesus said, Peter, you're forgiven. I love you. You're valuable. I'm going to use you. And Peter was a tremendous power in the early church that learned forgiveness and restoration through the love of Jesus. Feed my sheep.